Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. I got Captain Chip Wingo and myself here, and we were talking about flounder a few minutes ago. Just, you know, wanted everybody to remember about the new flounder rule changes. Excuse me.
That's so, a fun fish to watch.
You know, the videos that I've seen, watching, like following a bait.
Yep.
They're actually pretty neat. The way they swim, the way they look. When they're in the sand, the way they look, those eyes pop straight up. It's weird, man. It's. You know, when you catch a flounder, you got him in the boat. Of course, his eyes is like any other fish eyes, with the exception there's two on one side. But, you know, just watching them, how flat they are. But whenever you see them on videos or whatever, and you see those eyes sticking up out of that sand.
Yeah. It's so almost like neat. Shrimp eyes looking around. It's so funny how aggressive they are. I mean, they're an explosive eater. And most people think, you know, because you're pitching a mullet out and you got to wait for them to eat it. But, you know, when they eat a shrimp, they eat a small bait, you know, they hammer it.
Yeah.
You know, and they're so fast. They're lightning fast when they strike.
And they're lightning fast striking a mullet, too, you know, with a larger mullet. But the problem with waiting is to be able to let him get that thing in his mouth.
Yeah.
And get it all the way down.
That's true. You know? I mean, you look at some of the baits these guys use for big flounder. And they're huge, but they don't want anything but a really big flounder, you know.
But the thing about this, too, the flounder's stomach is not big at all.
Mm-mm.
And that's so weird because, you know, you got a 14-inch flounder, eat an 8-inch mullet.
Yeah.
I mean.
He might sit there on the bottom for a while and roll around.
Look like me after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I mean, small flounder like that will eat a big old bait, but it's so weird, you know. You know, using a big bait, of course, gives you a better chance to catch those bigger doormats whenever, you know, we are in our fall flounder run, especially. But unfortunately, this year, the fall flounder run is going to be a different animal for all of us, being that it's going to be closed recreational fishermen for half a month of October all the way through November. So, you know, it's going to be tough.
Well, you can look at it this way. If you want to catch the biggest flounder of your life, go flounder fishing this next fall when it's closed, because you're going to catch, of course, you're going to catch the biggest flounder you've ever caught, you know. And
yeah, because there's going to be a lot of them, you know, laying around.
Yeah,
you're supposed to release them, you know, because there's this year, you know, there's going to be a lot caught, a lot of fishermen caught with flounder, unfortunately. You know, so you have people who's not going to know about the flounder change, but then you're going to have people who, you know, are stubborn about the flounder change. But, so there will be some caught this year, but, you know, like you say, and big ones, maybe, you know, 1st of December.
Yeah.
I mean, they should still be around.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Being that everybody's not going to keep them in November.
I wonder how many people are going to go out and target them though, just like we do big trout. You know, and oversized reds and things like that.
Yeah.
That we
catch and release.
Yeah, that we catch and release because, I mean, they're fun to catch. I mean, there's nothing like seeing that head come up and that huge mouth, and then all of a sudden you get weak in the knees, and you're like trying to keep the head down. Get the net.
As soon as you get that mouth above the water, oh, boy.
Yeah, it's like game over. It's crazy.
You throw that hook right back in your face if you ain't careful.
You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about how I like to free line, you know, baits when the tide slacks for them. And it's still one of my favorite things to do because I'll take that kale hook and run it up through the last knuckle of the tail so that the hook literally is, you know, the barb is laying.
You're talking about a shrimp.
Yeah, so on a shrimp. Yeah, I'm sorry.
When you say up through the tail. Yeah. You know.
Fish don't have knuckles, I would guess. Yeah. So, but it's funny because you throw the bait and you know, before you let it drop down, you watch and the shrimp will swim with it and then it'll kind of sink down and swim again. But you don't miss them. I mean, it's so hard to miss them like that because there's no weight, you know, and you feel the thump and you just let it go, you know, and that's one of the things I love about kale hooks is you don't hardly gut hook fish at all with them.
Yeah, I do. You know? I love kale hooks.
Yeah.
I love it for bull reds.
I mean, so do I.
You know,
I don't gut hook them.
Yeah.
They're always hooked like in the lip, in the corner of the mouth. Yep. You know, I've had more, and you know, I'm not dogging out circle hooks, but I've had more bull reds on a big circle hook gut hook it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess because they crush that crab and suck it in. Of course, you cut it and revive the fish. And, you know, it's like how many redfish have you caught that are pooping out a jig head?
Yeah.
You know, or a piece of line, you know, and they seem to pass it right through.
Yeah, they do.
You know, so I try not to ever, I'll cut a jig head so fast, I don't ever want to try to remove it from a fish unless it's, you know, a surgery that can be done easily without hurting the fish. But,
yeah, because sometimes you see them down in there, you know, and in the past I've seen them down in there and go, oh, this one ought to come out easy, and then it does.
Yeah.
You hurt the fish. So,
well, we caught a redfish.
It's easier just to cut that hook and, you know, reach down there with the scissors as far as you can down the mouth, you know, just cut that hook off.
We caught one a couple of weeks ago that had a jig head in his mouth, you know, and he was still feeding.
Oh, yeah.
Still healthy fish, so.
And they say, you know, in salt water, you know, 5 to 7 days, something like that, the enzymes in the fish will start corroding that hook as long as it's not a cadmium plated or a, you know, stainless steel hook. The bronze hooks, that's why I like the bronze hooks, you know. Yeah. And I'm not so sure that 5 to 7 days is enough. I mean, to me, you know, the fish have to have a strong enzyme, you know, to be able to do that. But,
well, the salt water is going to do it too, isn't it enough, you know, to corrode it? But yeah.
And it doesn't rust the whole hook away. What supposedly it does is it rusts the part of the hook that's into the meat.
Yeah.
So, you know, then the rest of it can be, you know, either expelled or swallowed, you know, and if they swallowed, of course, you know, they've been able to pass. I mean, we've seen them. We've seen fish passing hooks and, you know, line. I mean, sometimes I've seen fish with 3 foot of line coming out.
Yeah.
You know, and guys are like, can we pull it out? I'm like, no.
No, don't do that. Just let it go.
We just cut the line off, you know, so it doesn't get caught on the oyster or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and let him finish passing the rest of it. And, but, you know, fish, I mean, they have to have, you know, some major enzyme to be able to do that, to rust a hook like that, and, you know, pretty quickly. I've also seen hooks in a fish's mouth that are in pretty bad shape.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not the fish, but the
hook
but
itself.
The hook itself is in pretty bad shape.
Well, once that barb, you know, dissolves off, it's probably easier for them to get it out.
Right.
You know, it'll come out.
But and I mean, if it's in their mouth, you know, then they're probably able to, you know, get rid of it, you know, spit it out. Because we know they can spit out a good hook.
Yeah, I know that for a fact. Right next to the boat when the net's there.
Yeah, Leon could probably tell us that this morning.
Yeah, he can.
As we said, he lost that one right at the boat, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We use a lot of those mini brainer circle hooks.
Yeah.
You know, and they're great for clients because you can... The fish eats it, swims off, and then they're not setting the hook because they can't.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much slack in the line by the time they catch up to it.
Right.
You know, they've got it. But it's just funny to watch somebody try to set the hook on a circle hook.
I'm like, and I tell them, you know, I mean, you'll see them raise the rod. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know, because you're pulling the hook different than what the hook is supposed to work.
Yeah.
You know. So. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you don't really even want to raise the rod. The other thing I don't like seeing is when people are fishing and they're holding that pole straight with the line.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to me how many people do that because when that fish picks it up, especially when we're using braid, the first thing he's going to feel is that reel.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And you want that pole to be able to bend. You know, you want to hold it either to the side or, you know, I tell them to hold it to the side when the wind's blowing. Tell them also, you know, to hold it about a 45-degree angle. And I said, let that thing bend. You know?
Or drop it down when he hits it so he can take off with it.
There you go.
Especially a piece of crab.
Give us a call, 222-8255. We'll be back.
C-100. Safe Harbor Seafood. Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried. Or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood. Located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep-alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And
yeah, you were talking about trout off air.
Yeah.
You know, I we talked about several times trying to figure out whether it's the dirty water or, you know, what this year. But I know there's been a lot of nice trout caught. Mm-hmm. And Leon's gotten on some good ones lately and at higher water back on the grass lines. But I just haven't really fished for them. I did really well on yellowmouth, but not on specs this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's because I wasn't fishing for them, but when I find the yellowmouth, I usually don't find the specks with them.
You know? Yeah, very rare. I mean, we have in the river when there's not really deep.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually caught both on the bomber.
Yeah.
You know, when we're fishing like 5-6 foot of water, because that bomber go down a little bit. And, of course, yellowmouth, we know we can catch them just off the bottom.
Yep.
You know, but it's been quite a while since we've done that. I mean, you know, at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
And usually when you, like you say, when you find a yellowmouth, they're just not the same. They're not mixed in together hardly anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Strange.
Let's get Bill on. Mr. Bill.
Morning.
I don't hear a sander.
Me all fired up.
hear a sander going.
You don't hear a sander or a grinder going.
Oh, man. You know, I'm waiting for my materials. Evidently, there's a shortage of that, too.
Oh, yeah. What is the fiberglass? Well,
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because those guys weren't essential. Nobody was essential, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they had the
same
plant.
The wood.
The plant in Texas got shut down when they had the freeze and they lost power. And then I think another one in Germany burned down.
Well, so
those were the two big suppliers, but all adhesives, petroleum adhesives, are having problems getting.
Yeah,
as well.
I can't even. I got half a fence up in my house, and I can't get pickets. It's been a month, 5 weeks. Yeah.
And then you have on the other hand, you have not only did a lot of people lose their jobs, but you have a lot of people not coming back to work.
Right.
You know, we see. Of course, now that I'm not looking for a job, I mean, every time we leave the house. I'm continually seeing now hiring, you know, need people, you know, hiring incentives. You know, Winn-Dixie's got something like a $5,000 incentive to hire.
Yeah.
Over on Edgewood
McDonald's
Avenue.
Is offering $50 if you filled out an application somewhere.
It's just amazing to me that there's so many, you know, now hiring signs out. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like,
You know what's in the background of those You know what's in the background of all those no hiring signs?
What's that?
When you're at the corner, freaking hobo.
Somebody holding a sign up needing money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I saw a meme the other day that said something about long-haired freaky people do apply.
Yeah.
I was like, that's perfect. So, yeah. You know, Bill, there is duct tape and that AC silver tape. You could always tape your boat up and go out.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just have a good bilge pump.
Scott, I thought of that. Did you see the original crack?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the
original crack. Yeah, it was so tight.
It was so tight, you probably should have just took super glue. You know, but you didn't know that you wasn't going to be able to get the fiberglass, you know. And I mean, I had no idea. You know, it's like, you know, it's like buying T111 nowadays. I mean, you know.
Eddie Wood.
Yeah. And, but, you know, whenever you're doing that, I mean, I've just got to thinking about, you know, wow, if you could have just got super glue and just... You know, about 10 tubes of it.
I tell you what, Bill, just take a little piece of plywood, you know, scrap piece, and just screw it into the bottom. You'll be good to go.
Cock it up.
Yeah.
Cock it up and screw it on there.
5,200, man, that is the caulk. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking that I'm going to use 7 layers of fiberglass to get that thing back up to the surface so it's flush.
Wow.
Glass is thick on my boat. It's really like a tank.
That's good.
Did it? I hope it didn't crack a string or two, though.
Now that you've ground the hole bigger where you can see and get the foam insulation dried, do you see a stringer in there at all, a wooden stringer?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't, and I cut into the top, but once I peeled back some of the foam, it was dry, which I expected it to be totally saturated, but the foam's okay.
Dry on the top, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, so I have to put that back together. But other than the fact that my wife shrunk the opening to getting into the hatch.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Along with my life jackets and my clothes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going
to
be too hard.
I seem to shrink all the time in the dryer or something.
That's what the doctor asked me yesterday. He goes, did you shrink your clothes with hot water or something? I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
That's funny. I wanted to ask you about how long does it take you to tie one of those FG knots?
About a minute.
And you've tied 1,000 of them? I mean,
No, I haven't tied that many yet. I've tied a couple. I've probably tied 100, maybe a little bit more.
That's not bad.
If you watch the video and you find the one that there's a guy that says a new way to do it, it's once you you test it because you have to pull on the line and sometimes it slips off.
Right.
If you if you're moving the line over, under, over, under, over, under, and it kind of pops back and you go, was that over or under? And you mess up one loop, it'll slide right off. But there's a lot of different ways these guys are tying them. But, you know, I found that one, because you put the rod in a holder and then wrap the braid in your finger and keep it tight, and then you can use both hands to do it. You know, and I love that knot. I don't know who came up with that, but that was brilliant. And it works on big tackle, too. It'll hold. That's the strongest knot I've ever used.
And that's why you don't use the Albright knot, because it's not as strong enough?
I don't even mess with an Albright. I used to do a uni to uni.
Yeah.
But then with these new rods, with these guides that are so small, you have clients reeling the knot through the guides, which will break your guides out. So,
yeah.
And... you know, I also like a long leader, too, so if I start with 8 or 9 foot of leader, and when it gets frayed up, I can trim it off and rehook it, and, you know, 5, 6 days, maybe 10 days later, I got to retie it.
I like that.
You know, so you don't have to worry about it while you're out there so much.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've, over the years, what kind of just kind of makes my nerves kind of shake a little bit, I guess you could say, or whatever grates my nerves, is whenever you hear somebody throw and the knot comes out through the guides, you know, because that it's usually, I mean, it's a wind knot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And over the years you hear that, and it's like when somebody has a big knot, like a uni to uni, and they're fishing with their tackle on my boat and they throw that, it's the same thing. It's kind of like, oh, you know, oh yeah, okay, that's just a leader knot, you know. But it's, but at first you're like, ah, you're looking for that knot be out there somewhere, you know, that wind knot,
that yeah, big, so you hurry up and get it out before it gets worse.
Oh yeah, yeah, because you get a fish on it. Oh yeah, I mean, you know, if it gets bad enough and you get a fish on and you start trying to reel that fish in, and that wind knot is big enough, if it gets around the tip of that rod, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, braided line, trying to hand line a 25-inch fish in with braided, you better have some rags to try to do that with.
Yeah.
Because that stuff will cut you like a knife, you know.
Bill, are you on Facebook Messenger?
No.
No, you're not a Facebook guy at all?
No.
I'll try to send you this video to Vic, and he can forward it to you.
Okay.
On how to do it.
I have a, you know, talk about wind knots, I have a, some friends of mine I met when I was a contractor for the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Colorado, so they got the, you know, marijuana card, and she's a staunch supporter of marijuana every day, all day. She's not much of a fisherman woman,
yeah,
but when she gets on the boat, if you get a wind knot, she'd be damn glad to get that out for you.
She'd be a little focused, you're saying?
It's incredible. You know, when I'm doing it, I'm like, oh my God, let's get this over with, get this over with. She's like, oh no, I'll get it.
Well, you know, when clients do it on the boat, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I know you're never getting that out. I'm like, no,
yeah,
just hold the rod for a second.
Mm-hmm.
If you take your time, you know, you don't get in a hurry.
You don't pull it tight.
Yeah.
Right, know, don't pull it tight.
And then, boom, there it is. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, I'm patient when it comes to knots.
And I got that little skin hook, which is a stainless steel thing that you get at a hospital or whatever, medical supply, but it's called a skin hook, and it's got that little turn, you know, little hook at the end, and, you know, you can kind of reach in there where you, sometimes your fingertips are just too big to try to pull the loose, and you can take that little hook and you just pull it just a little, don't pull it tight, but you pull it and see if it's loose. And if that's the loose one, then you can pull it, and a lot of times that knot comes right out.
Well, people are like, I can't believe you're that patient with that. I go, well, $35 a spool, you know, I do get a little patient with it, so.
You know, it's not even the money. It's just that when you start losing 20 feet of line two or three times a day, you can't cast anymore.
Yeah. And sometimes you re-spool your reels, and you go out, and either the first or second day, somebody gets a wind knot 50 to 70 feet away from the jig head.
Yeah.
And you're oh, and they pull it tight because they're trying to get it out instead of telling you. And it's like, oh, there goes 50 foot of line.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Throw it away.
You know, and it's like you just pull it right off of there and, you know, cut it off. And it's like, man, I mean, I still, even when they pull it tight, I try to get it out, but, you know, I don't spend a lot of time on it. When they pull it tight, it's done.
Close the bail by hand.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my friend's phone number, Vic.
Yeah.
I'll give you my friend's phone number. She'll get them out. You just mail them to her.
But like Chip says, close the bail by hand. I mean, I always close the bail by hand.
That's how you
control it.
Yeah. And I pull the line tight. You know, it's a habit for me. I cast, shut the bail, pull the line kind of tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that the line's going through the roller because that stuff floats around, especially if it's windy.
Yeah.
You know,
I like to, when especially throw in something light, you know, like a bomber.
Yeah.
Okay. Throw it out there. Mm-hmm. You flip the bail and raise your, you know, because when you're casting, you're going to lower that rod down.
Yeah.
So when you flip the bail, you raise it up and then start reeling.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that way you get that line coming on, you know, the spool tighter. But you can't get a lot of people to do that.
Yeah, I'm ready to go fishing. I need some fiberglass.
I bet.
I know a guide you can hire. Vic, I'm sure Vic will have a date open for you.
Man, I'm tempted.
I know you're so wanting that boat fixed. I can understand it a lot. You know, have you called around and have you called around and see if other places?
Well, I already put my order in, and they keep telling me that, you know, it's coming, and I got plenty of projects to do around here. I've been working, you know, a few days a week with a job.
But then that still don't get you out on the water.
Yeah, right.
No, we went out in kayaks last weekend. Then don't forget, Vic, I was surf fishing, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. He's going to become a kayaker.
Yeah, there you go.
No,
and
ask Vic about my surf fishing trip.
Also,
remember?
Yeah, yep. Also, Bill, real quick before we get off here, don't forget to try Ace Hardware.
Okay.
All right.
Radio AM 600.
101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A group of House Republicans introduced a bill this week that would force the Biden administration to declassify intelligence related to the possibility that coronavirus could have leaked from a Chinese lab. Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin is leading the effort. It follows introduction of a similar bill in the Senate last month by Republican Senators Josh Hawley of Missouri and Mike Broad of Indiana. Travel costs are among the highest in years. Even so, people are getting out and about this Memorial Day holiday weekend. Gasoline prices averaging close to $3 a gallon nationwide, the highest they've been in 10 years. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was up by 64 points at 34,529. The NASDAQ was up by 12 points. The S&P 500 clawed out about a three-point gain. International oil prices down 53 pennies a barrel on the NYMEX. This is SRN News.
Are you tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? How would you like to participate in stock market gains but never stock market losses? Join Len Strickler and Art Athanas for the Safe Money Radio program every Saturday at 3 p.m. You can also call Len and Art now for your free customized Safe Money kit and 115-page Safe Money book at 844-450-SAFE. That's 844-450-7233.
It's important to love what you do and who you do it for. And that's easy when you work at American Electrical Contracting. They're always looking for new ways to invest in their employees. This year alone, they've increased employee benefits by 25%, doubled their life insurance policy, and added an extra scheduled holiday. Plus, they offer tuition assistance for higher education. American Electrical Contracting focuses on excellence and professionalism. Pursue excellence personally and professionally at American Electrical Contracting. Hiring now. Call 737-7770. Visit American-Electrical.com.
Make someone's day with a little help from Kuhn Flowers. Fresh flowers have a way of adding that extra bit of beauty to your home. They're also a great way to brighten someone's day. And what better way is there to show someone just how much you care than with a fresh bouquet of flowers? One thing's for sure, when you order flowers from Kuhn Flowers, you're going to get the brightest, most colorful, professionally arranged, long-lasting floral arrangements available. Call Kuhn Flowers today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or you can shop online anytime at KuhnFlowers.com. Kuhn Flowers, making memories since 1947.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, painters, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Veteran broadcaster and American icon, Rush Limbaugh.
Broadcast engineer flinched. Little dead air never hurt anybody. You know, dead air always works. When nothing's coming out of the radio and you expect it to, you stop what you're doing and you pace much closer attention. It's an old veteran broadcaster's trick.
Join millions and millions of Americans who listen every day.
Everybody remembers the first time they heard this show.
Proud to be the voice of conservatism in Jacksonville and beyond. WBOB. How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Mostly sunny today with an isolated afternoon shower and a high of 92. Partly cloudy, down to 68. Sunshine again tomorrow and Memorial Day with a high of 88 both days. The same for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, a mix of sun, clouds, and a 50% rain chance, and a high of 87.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Give us a call, 222-8255. Let me know if you're going to go out there today or tomorrow.
Seems like everybody's out.
Really, Monday. Yeah, I know it. It's, that's what I'm wondering about.
Monday's the day I'm dreading. You know?
Yeah.
What time do you want to leave? 5:30.
It's like, it's really weird. You know, it's like the kickoff. It seems like the kickoff for summer is Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And then Labor Day is like the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't get that. Because look at how warm we've been, you know, last couple of months. And then look at the weather after Labor Day. You know, I mean, November is not that great because you have a lot of nor'easters. But still, you know, it's still fishable.
It's great because the boat traffic is at a minimum.
It's not like it's cold.
Yeah.
It's not like it's cold. Sheephead are biting. Black drum are biting. You know, the redfish are biting. And, you know, flounder, you know, are usually biting. So, you know, they'll probably be biting good this year, being it's closed, you know, during the month of November. you know, remember when we used to have December closed for trout?
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh.
Hammer.
I went to Fort George Inlet one day, and we went over to try to catch some yellowmouth. And we were catching speckled trout on the bottom right there by the plantation.
Yep.
And, I mean, on the bottom. And we're just catching one right after the other.
Yep.
And it was during the closed month. I'm like, yeah, we'll come back next month. There won't be a single one of them there.
Yep. Well, that's like the wintertime fishing the jetties with float rigs.
Yeah.
Hammer big trout. You know, the water's clean.
Yep.
You know, and if you can get the right day to get out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be cold, but, you know, it's, I get it. I mean, yeah, it's the way it works. Watch, this year during our, quote, flounder season that we usually have, there'll be tons of bait everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will be ideal.
Yeah.
You know, loads of shrimp coming out of the river, plenty of mullet everywhere where you can walk on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I guess people are going to sheep's head fish a little harder, huh?
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about closing something. I mean, when you look at something, it, you know, it's like when they close the red snapper, okay? They're going to fish for something. So what do? They're hurting the population for the grouper.
Yeah.
And the grouper is the one that should be closed down for, you know, a closed season and try to take care of and open the snapper back up.
How many years has the snapper been shut down now? Nine?
Probably at least eight or nine, yeah.
I mean, I still don't understand that process anymore.
I know.
I mean, now they're wanting to do a commission to count them. Is that what they were saying the other day?
Yeah, and how are you going to count them?
You can't.
I mean, you know.
You're going to dive every single wreck in the United States, every ledge, every
on the same day because, you know.
Yeah, they move around.
They move around.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't get it. I mean, yeah. So.
I want to congratulate Chris Nichols. He got his truck back, I saw on Facebook. Had it redone. I mean, it looks nice, man. Had it repainted and all. They took the bed off of it and everything. They really fixed it up nice, man. So it's, you know, it looks really good. So glad he got it back. I know he's ready to have it back, too. That's his tow vehicle for his boats. So
yeah.
He's been having a rental car, you know.
Get him and Bill together, and they might actually be able to put something out there.
Yeah, there you go.
I know Bill's going to be throwing me a fin here shortly.
But yeah,
I get it. When my motor was down and it was only, you know, I only waited, I think, 4 weeks, right out of month, to get replace my motor because I had to wait for the insurance company to do their thing first and then, you know, go order the motor, wait for it to come in and then put it on. I was going crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, and not because I wasn't doing the charters as much as the fact that I was ready to fish, you know, and it still happens every once in a while. I'll get it, you know. In the mood to take my boat out by myself, you know, or to take, you know, my brother or somebody else out and just go fish, you know, where you're not, there's no pressure for your clients.
That's a big thing. Yeah.
You know, and it is pressure because, you know, our reputations and.
Yeah. You're trying to get people on fish because, you know, I mean, it's like, I've had people before tell me, you know, they went with a captain over in the Gulf and they didn't catch anything. They thought he probably didn't know what he was doing and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, well, you know, was it right after a front? Was it, you know, wind blowing? Oh, yeah, the wind was blowing like 30 miles an hour. We just had to go behind this. I'm like, well, that's probably what it was. I mean, you couldn't fish out in the open. You know, you had to go get behind an island or something like that to get out of it. And, you know.
Oh, that's when they say, oh, it's fishing. That doesn't make it feel any better.
No.
If you have a bad day.
Yeah.
You know.
But the problem with it is they tell you first that the captain was no good before they tell you that the weather was horrible, you know.
Yeah. Well, now
and we can't control all of it, you know. I mean, it's hard enough to try to control a fish on a pretty day on a blue, what I call bluebird, you know, where everybody calls bluebird days. You know, there's not a cloud in the sky. It's calm wind. It's beautiful. It's hot. But the fish won't bite.
Yeah. Try going offshore and trolling and that stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't want to eat either.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, it's funny because nowadays everybody's calling it, you know, the captains are communicating with, you know, with their cell phones and texts and everything else. Are you on a bite? You're on a, mm-hmm. When it's slow for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And, you know, you're.
Well, the other day we'd come back to the boat ramp, you know, we caught those five reds. Excuse me, but we went float fishing for trout. Could not get a trout bite at all. Jack and bluefish, and then finally decided let's just go to the creeks. You know,
yeah.
You know, it was tough to get, you know, five reds on the line. But even at that point, you know, I get back to the boat ramp and people are like, you know, gosh, did you find anything at all? And I'm like, well, we found a few reds, but that was it. You know, yeah. And they're like, well. We ain't caught nothing but a couple of pinfish and, you know, this and that. I mean, I talked to probably three different ones while I was strapping the boat down that would walk by me, you know, going to get their truck, you know, to back down. And everybody was having a tough day.
Yeah. Well, it happens. That's mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you're on the water every day.
Yeah.
It's the fish don't eat every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, they might not eat that tide.
Right.
You know, you might be on fire for a week with fish feeding at the last outgoing tide, and then you go back and do that again, and they won't eat. But then you catch them on the high falling tide, and they feed like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yep.
But I usually like that moving outgoing to low and turn mm-hmm. coming in.
Yeah.
You know, which makes sense. But, you know, if not, it's grind. Throw the spinnerbait on and start grinding down the bank lines of high water, but... So yeah. What are you fishing for? You're fishing tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
What are you fishing for tomorrow?
Just reds.
Reds?
Yeah.
Gotcha. You'd be able to slip back in your little spots.
Yeah, because I have four people, and, you know, that's a boatload. So,
yeah, it is.
You know, you go up in the creeks, you can throw some jigs over there and over there, and, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of do it that way. It's not like you want to go out and throw some lures or anything like that, you know, with four people on.
No.
And you can't really, you know, float fish with four people. I mean, it's, you know, I like to take two on float fish, you know.
Yeah.
I'm talking about slip float, you know, where mm-hmm. you just drop it down and let it roll. And the other day when we were trying that and only got into bluefish and jack, we had no current. You could drop the float down and stay right beside the boat.
Doesn't move.
And that was on the incoming tide.
Wow.
But now when the tide dropped,
yeah,
it was moving, you know. And then it was, of course, I was talking about it being a minus 1.2. So, but, you know, I mean, I'd have to take the lines and throw them out, you know, 50, 60 feet away from the boat just to get away from the boat, you know. And that, I think that had a lot to do with no trout bite. Because, you know, I don't know how you like, but I like moving water.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for trout, I want that water moving at in or out, but I want it moving a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, they're opportunists, you know. Yeah. Something comes by and they're going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen those videos too, right, on the trout?
Oh, yeah.
Where they show them on the oyster edges and stuff like that.
And I don't like it real fast, you know, real hard. You know, I mean, when I get to a place and you throw, you know, a line out like a float and that thing just, you know, it's gone 100 feet from the boat in no time. Or you throw a bomber and it gets to the back of the boat before you can even get the thing worked halfway to the boat. I don't like those kind of ripping current. You know?
You were talking about four people. He keeps going through my head, four bomber long A's flying around, ducking and weaving and bobbing, getting out of the way. That's where you put on a full face helmet and a flat jack. Yeah,
three treble hooks on each lure. Nah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's one of the days you don't want to do that. That's when you go out there and throw a jig on the bottom.
That's when I put three of them out of the back and troll them.
Yeah, there you go. You know, you could do that, but, you know, when you got four people, then, you know, you're still...
odd man out.
Yeah.
Get the nut.
Give us a call, 222-8255. Got one more segment. We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600. Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
All this time. You know, anyway, 222-8255, give us a call. Yeah, I want to talk about Country Caterers for a minute. Tommy Perryman with Country Caterers, 904-219-2058. That's 904-219-2058. Tom Perryman with CountryCatersBarbecue.com. You can check him out and talk about some good food. He does a lot of events here in Jacksonville. We'll come right to your event, to your house or whatever, and cook right there on your driveway or in your backyard, whatever. He was, he come out and took care of all of us, you know. We had my brother's funeral here 2 months ago, and did a great job, you know.
Yeah.
But Tom's fished with me now for probably, I'd say 12 to 15 years. And, you know, great guy. So, you know, give him a call, tell him you heard about it on Still Just Fishing Show. And we appreciate all of our sponsors. You know, that's what keeps us on the air. So, talking about fishing this week, I know that water temperature is jumping up. You know, that's one of the reasons I think there's not a whole lot of trout biting. I've seen some pictures of, you know, somebody's finding some good. You know, James Gurgley, he usually gets on to them. And, but anyway, you know, it's been a tough bite from what I understand from most of the people I talked to about speckled trout. And, I haven't really seen any yellowmouth trout up here. I know y'all were catching them down there for a little bit.
Yeah. I caught them this week too. It was really bizarre. It's weird. I'll find them, you know, sometimes I'll find them on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course we were catching them in deep water, you know, 8-9 feet of water is usually where I catch yellowmouth trout.
Yeah.
At least that deep. But we had a super bite going on. I mean, we had one day, I think we had over 30, you know, and out of that 30, you know, most of them were keepers if you want to keep fish that small. But, you know, I think we cleaned, let's see, I kept 9 whiting that day, which these people really wanted the whiting.
And oh,
I think
yeah, we love caught, whiting.
No, excuse me. It was 6 whiting and 9
yellowmouth.
9 yellowmouth. And, you know, and of course, you know, I got them really cold before I cleaned them because you can't clean those fish when they're hot, when they're warm, especially the yellowmouth. But, but yeah, there were tons of them. And they fight good. Yeah. They eat good, you know, and.
You especially know, when you get them 15, 18 inches or so. They really, they'll hit a bait, I think, just full on. You know,
well, I'm waiting to see it fire off like it did in the river for me years back when we were catching, you know, 4 or 5 pounders.
Mm.
You know, that's a big yellowmouth trout.
It sure is,
And I mean, we were throwing a gulp sinking minnow up current and fishing the roll down edges in the river. You know, I'm talking the main channel of the river up past the Buckman and towards the Buckman. And you just throw it as far as you could up current and let it go to the bottom and then just keep lifting and pulling the slack up, and they would hammer it. And you know, they're always sitting on the close to the bottom anyway, but they were huge. But the only thing is, when you catch them up in the river, I can't stand the way they smell.
And when you say up the river, you're talking about way on up the river.
Buckman area, you know, from the Buckman to the Main Street. They have like that, the smell of the river in them, and I just don't like them then. You know, I like them when they're around salt water. But like, did you see it? I mean, get off subject of trout, did you see a croaker run this year?
Let's see, actually I didn't fish during that time. That's when I was that's when I was having some eye surgery. As a matter of fact, I was preparing for that, and was my daughter just got, you know, at the hospital and out of rehab for her back surgery, and then I went in October the 5th and got my eye surgery. October 5th or 7th. I think it was the 7th, and that was my first eye surgery. So I really missed that whole, you know, whole 5 or 6 weeks. Yeah,
you know, because I really like when those croaker fire off. I like going up around there. Well, I like getting the small ones and then bull red fishing with them. And those trout, oh my goodness, they'll eat a 10-inch croaker in a heartbeat. You know,
It's just got to be a good bait because, you know, whenever you hook them, they just are sitting there making
grunt, grunt, grunt.
Yeah.
Well, we used them offshore down at, out of when I fished out of Canaveral 2 years ago for snapper. And that's all we used for bait was live croakers. You pull up to a bait guy and, you know, you buy them by the dozen. And I think, God, I think they probably bought like 15, 16 dozen that day because there was so many people on the boat. And they used them for 2 days, but on a, you know, we were on that big 74-foot sport fish.
Wow!
But man, you talk about getting hammered. You know, using a leader that's like 20-foot long, you know, all the way up to the weight, and you drop it down, and then you reel it back up a little bit, and you can feel the croaker swimming. And then all of a sudden, thump, and it's game on, and they eat them really good down there. It was pretty wild to try something differently because nobody. Up here, you know, you don't have a bait guy pulling up next to you and selling you baits. And,
yeah. You know, and I wonder, do they cast net them down there? Is that
they catch them? I think they catch them both by cast net in the shallows and hook and line, you know, using like sabiki rigs and stuff like that. But, you know, that's one of the cool things about fishing down south. One of the only, you know, except for the crowds, but is being able to pull up and get your bait, you know.
Yeah.
You can buy anything. I mean, if it's a bait that you can use, those guys will harvest it.
And, oh, wow.
You know, you can buy it.
That's like I've always thought about, you know, just, you know, having a pontoon boat out there with some ice cold watermelon and you know, stuff like that on it, and just kind of,
you'd have to have some big fenders around that sucker.
barbecue pit, just cook you some hamburgers and have people smelling them.
That'd be awesome. You'd have to have a liquor license. I'll sell some beer. I wouldn't even mess with the beer.
They'll be passing that thing and smelling a hamburger and turn it right around and come back. Yeah, it'd be a big sign of hamburgers, hot dogs, you know, hot, you know.
Yeah.
French fries, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You have a big pontoon boat out there ripping it up. I mean, you'd be so busy.
Might have a waiting line.
Yeah, you watching people. That'd be like a kingfish tournament. They're all behind each other trying to jockey for position and stay in line. That would be awesome, though.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
That'd be a business to get into.
You know what else really likes those croakers is snook.
Oh,
snook,
yeah,
like them too, you know. And I watched some guys, I think they were calling them spots or something when they were using them.
Well, no, there is a spot too.
Yeah, no, that's right, they were using the spots and they were using the croakers. I remember now seeing them. But yeah, for some reason I guess the croaker and the spots like to eat the eggs when they're spawning.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's what the reasoning was, why they hit them so hard, because even when they're not feeding. You know, I talked to a guy that I fished with a lot out of Palm Beach, and, you know, he was telling me that, you know, they'll hit it even when they're not feeding. You watch everybody else around you using different stuff, not getting bites, pitch a spot or a croaker down, and they'll get hammered. So I did see tarpon last week.
Oh, wow.
That got me excited. You know, big ones.
Is that the first one?
We've seen a couple here and there, like out of the corner of your eye, and then you see it roll again, and you go, okay, that was a tarpon.
Yeah.
But I saw some nice ones rolling, so I'm fired up. I know that they're catching them pretty good down around Daytona area on the bridges right now at night. So that means we'll hopefully have them soon. You know, I'm sure if you go at night, you'll probably see a lot more of them than you do during the day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't wait for that. That's going to be – I'd rather fish for that than anything.
The way the water temperature's warming up, I mean, they should be. I mean, this is the end of May, so, you know. You know, I haven't seen but a couple up here. I've seen a couple of them in clapboard and a couple of them over there just off of the intercoastal, like the creek where you go in toward clapboard.
Yep.
You know, that big oyster bed's right in the middle of the creek. I've seen some right in the where it goes up and turns right. I've seen some there because, you know, it's a little deep hole there. And I don't know what it is about them rolling around a deep hole, but, you know, usually they either be right next to a deep hole or right over that deep hole. Like they do the tarpon hole in the clapboard.
Yeah, know? Straight up and straight down.
Yeah.
You know? That's where all those little sand trout are, too. They love to eat those things.
Well, in that tarpon hole, we used to catch whiting and croakers.
Did you?
Inside of it. I mean, that's the only thing I've ever caught down in the bottom of was toadfish.
Yeah.
I always thought black drums would be in there, but
yeah.
I think it's a freshwater spring, and they just don't go in there. I've never caught a drum in there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. All righty. Appreciate you coming in again, Cap.
Always a pleasure.
Give Captain Chip Wingo a call at 614-4989. 614-4989. And fishtoflats.com.
See you next week.
All righty.